Welcome to another edition of the Columbia University Sports Podcast, the Cusp Show, where we talk about all kinds of issues, opportunities, disruption, diversity, media technology. I'm Joe Favorito, sitting in for my usual co-host, Tom Richardson, is Scott Rosner today. Scott, welcome back.
Hey, Joe, good to be back and always happy to pinch hit if for the esteemed Professor Richardson as I can.
So, Scott, we're sitting here on the 1st of June, coming off one of the more tumultuous weeks, I would say, given everything that's going on, COVID-19, and obviously a lot of really unfortunate and tragic incidents in the past week. And we decided to do a little bit of a special edition of the podcast and bring in Len Elmore. As you know, our esteemed professor teaches sports and society and a number of other programs with us, to get his take on the last week, athlete activism, and how athletes, hopefully, and sports in general, can help invoke change. So, Len, welcome back to the Cusp Show.
Great. Good to be with you guys.
So, Len, just top level, you know, given your background, so many different places, whether it's on the law side, is on the player side, on the, you know, on the side of teaching and the people that you've been around, your thoughts on the incidents of the past week, starting really with, you know, a really strange incident in Central Park, going through on Memorial Day and on obviously everything that happened in Minnesota and how it's played out. Your overall thoughts, and then kind of we can get into, you know, obviously the particulars of sport and society and what sport can hopefully do or has done already to try and invoke positive change going forward.
Well, I mean, I feel like we've been living in a pressure cooker for a long time. And what's been happening is the heat's been turned up over the last 3 years. I mean, the attitude of top down from leadership in Washington, D.C. all the way down has put a focus on relations among races, if you will. There's so many things that have come out, whether it's you know, the concept of privilege, whether it's obviously criminal justice reform, police relations, you know, all of these things that have combined to, in many ways, subjugate people of color, make white people nervous and fearful. And all of it is kind of converged, if you will, with several incidents. Now, let's not forget the fact that you know, technology has played a huge role in magnifying the issues that we have. But, you know, despite, you know, our attempts to survive COVID-19, you know, we've got another viral infection that has been creeping up on humanity, particularly here in the United States, for so long. And now, you know, we're seeing an outbreak. And, you know, the heartening thing is that folks are recognizing it. You know, the best part of all of this, the tragedy of the loss of life of George Floyd, the embarrassment and the destruction of a woman's career because of, you know, her ignorance and stupidity. But the beauty of it is that the people are joining hands in diverse demonstrations. And I'm not talking about the rioting and I'm not talking about the destruction of property, but in the peaceful demonstrations, people are joining hands to say it's enough. And that is where we need to be right now, to demonstrate to each other, not just to other people, but to each other, that, you know, we can't take this any longer.
With regard to athlete activism and where it is today, we've seen some comments from players, from some leagues. Where can, going forward, part of this, and a couple of people have said to me today, you know, you look at what's going on, and every time there's a tragedy, people express condolences and prayers, but there's no action that comes out of it. But maybe now this is the time, and maybe there are athletes and teams and leagues and owners and other people of influence that can really help invoke and drive change. Do you think that's possible now? And for people who are listening to this, where should they look, or what, in your opinion, should they do to try and help invoke change going forward?
Well, I think athletes right now can be influencers. I'm not saying they can be decision makers, that they can affect change, but they can influence minds who essentially when galvanized, can maybe have some impact on the process of change. We've seen so many respected people speaking out, whether it's players, whether it's coaches, administrators, have all spoken out, released statements, and that's a good beginning. And you know, you would expect those who follow sports so closely, particularly in this time where you know there's an absolute void in the action, for people to begin to take these words to heart. Remember, sport is, quote, the old example of meritocracy, the example where people need to get along in order to achieve goals. And so, you know, the idea of the camaraderie, the idea of respect, and all those things have been, you know, a hallmark of participation in sports in America. Unfortunately, society hasn't caught up with that. But now that, you know, guys are speaking out, you know, I think it's important that they exercise the influence. Now, what else can they do? Beyond that, I'm not sure. And people have programs. People have, athletes have gone out. I saw in Tampa where, you know, there were, there was destruction and rioting that a number of football players were out there helping to clean up. I mean, those are leaders, that's leadership by example. And I think, again, that's influence. But beyond that, people still have to live their lives, and they have to live their lives in an exemplary manner so that others will follow. This really will be a barometer how important sports really are to American people, how important athletes are to American people. It's great to go out there and cheer for them in competing out there and just talk about your admiration for these athletes and the way they compete. But now is the time to see if that admiration stretches beyond the playing surface and see if, you know, they are worthy of following. Have they set examples for us to follow as a nation?
One of the examples that obviously continues to come up is Take a Knee and Colin Kaepernick. There was a really interesting story in the New York Post over the weekend where Paul Hicks, who is SVP at the NFL, very close advisor to Commissioner Roger Goodell now, but also worked obviously for a long time in the Clinton administration, said, you know, now maybe the NFL should really take a look and figure out a way to embrace Colin Kaepernick and what he stood for and what he was trying to do and find a way to get him involved in an actionable and meaningful way as opposed to some of the things that have been done in the past. Do you think Take a Knee gets a different stance now or another look or a more important look now that we've reached this boiling point again? Or is it a separate incident altogether?
Well, it certainly has more meaning now than ever before, considering what happened to George Floyd and, you know, the criminal charges levied against police officers for doing just that, taking a knee. And, you know, the ironies are not lost on Americans when you recognize, you know, Colin Kaepernick could take a knee and, you know, he gets banished from football. And this police officer took a life with his knee, you know, and there was a period of time when it didn't even look like he was going to be charged. But as far as Colin Kaepernick is concerned, there's absolutely no question, not only that he should now try to be able to play a meaningful role. Because remember, I talked about social influences a moment ago, and, you know, there was no bigger social influence than Colin Kaepernick in the realm of football. And now I think that his actions have proven to be prophetic in, you know, demonstrating against evils that people chose to ignore. Owners in the NFL, administrators in the NFL wanted to hide. Now's the time to embrace it, again, for not only self-respect as a league, but also to influence for the good. And I think that it's truly an important time to take a look at the Players Coalition, Colin Kaepernick, Eric Reid, and such, and to be able to embrace them, you know, more tightly, more heavily than the NFL has done thus far.
You've been around athlete activism for some time, have seen positive change come in some ways, have been frustrated at some of the things that have not happened. Your message to athletes, regardless of color, gender, age, now, would be what? What would you like to see people do, whether they are little league players or coaches or players in the NBA, the NFL, the WNBA?
I think my message would be to stand for something, stand for what's right, to communicate on a daily basis the right thing, the right values. I'm not advocating going out and marching in the streets, particularly athletes and college athletes who are on scholarship, pro athletes who are representing their leagues. You know, there are some unsavory people out there. You go out there and march. You don't know what you're getting yourself into, and you don't want to be caught up in something that you can't get out of and might be associated with as negative. But nevertheless, there are other ways, you know, participate in community if you can. If young people are living in an area where, you know, community businesses have been torn down, et cetera, now's the time to pitch in, help clean up. You know, obviously you have to do it within the social distancing and the other regulations that are so necessary in today's environment with COVID-19. But nevertheless, find ways to do that. And also open up the dialogue, continue to talk about it, hiding it under the rug, you know, closing your ears to it only builds the pressure, as I said, in the pressure cooker, instead of us talking about it. And in effect, you've seen even police departments around the country. You look at Houston, you look at Flint, Michigan, where and other places where, you know, the police chiefs and other high-ranking officials have actually come out and marched with the marchers. You know, that's the kind of dialogue, that's the kind of communication that's absolutely necessary. And again, to influence others to be able to do the same thing. Because right now, you know, to be at odds, to, you know, choose sides, if you will, is going to do nothing but increase the polarity.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the social space you mentioned before, athletes, teams, leagues coming out and saying things, is it positive, negative, doesn't matter, the herd mentality where everyone feels like they have to say something? How do you speak to a community of young people, especially athletes, men, women, or owners of teams or people working at teams, to make sure that their message that they're giving is impactful versus just falling into white noise as everyone's trying to speak now?
Well, I think honesty and transparency is extremely important. You know, I think admissions of the mistakes that were made, and, you know, I'm not going to single out the NFL, but I'm going to use them as an example. You know, they may have to admit that they made a mistake with Colin Kaepernick. They have to admit that he was essentially the harbinger of, unfortunately, things to come, and he was trying to bring our awareness to what is going on in the world prior to the fuse being lit. Now's the time to admit that and to commit going forward to being more respectful, to being more understanding, to being more aware of the issues that guys are bringing up. You know, people keep saying it's not the place or the time. And people now realize, and they also thought that Colin Kaepernick and the guys who were in the Players Coalition who were taking knees were demonstrating against first responders and the military, et cetera, which is absolute nonsense. This is what they were talking about. And to have that transparency now, have admitted the fact that the mistakes were made, and having the transparency in discussion and in action and commitment going forward is the best thing that the most visible leagues, the ones who have made the mistakes, and, you know, even the individuals that made the mistakes, if they want to see our country improve, they've got to step up and, you know, become accountable and be not only accountable, but now become part of change.
Mm-hmm. Last question I had was, there were two interesting stories today juxtaposed. One was the fact that we are in a hiatus here due to COVID-19 with most sports not playing was a negative to try and have athletes be more active. There was another story that said it's actually a positive because people can pause and aren't going to run back, you know, and wave flags at games. And this gives people the opportunity to actually think about and kind of formulate action. Do you have a feeling either way, which is better or worse, or can both be combined for when we get back to play?
Boy, I hadn't really thought about it, Joe, until you just mentioned it. And to me, it's the latter. I think this is a period where it's timeout. You know, I suspect that if the games were being played right now, that there would probably be more danger, more divisiveness, you know, more fear that the games would be interrupted, more trepidation that, you know, more people together would ultimately get hurt. I recall the Freddie Gray incident in Baltimore, where the Baltimore Orioles actually played a game with no fans because of fear that, you know, more civil disobedience as well as even violence would occur. You know, that's no way for sport to take place, because sport is to galvanize communities, not to separate them. But now we have an opportunity to think. We have an opportunity to look at athletes as leaders as well as individuals and human beings, you know, for them to share, you know, not only their experiences, but their grievances as well. And if we have, as I mentioned earlier, if we have any true authentic feeling that these athletes can be leaders, now's the time to listen. You know, now's the time to solicit their ideas and their opinions. And from the athlete's standpoint, now's the time to responsibly assert yourselves in the communities, because they do essentially look up to you, especially the young people. And this is the time to set a tone.
Great.
Yeah, you know, Len, as I've thought about this in the last couple of days, you know, it's really been, in a way, to me, the absence of sports right now is in some ways more glaring than it usually or than it has been in you know, prior to George Floyd's death. The in the sense that we turn to sports when during troubled times, right?
Yep.
For distraction, for a sense of community healing, for diversion, for pure entertainment, when we need it most. And we need it more now than I can remember ever it being needed, right? And we don't have it. And not that it's a cure-all, not that it will we can wave a wand and start, and the playing of games would make this situation any better or any different, and it certainly wouldn't bring back Mr. Floyd. But it certainly is one more piece that makes me think about the importance in the healing process, and the sense of community that sports and mass spectator sports in general can provide.
Well, Scott, you know, here's the deal. I agree with you to an extent that, you know, if we had sports at a point where everyone was united and we could go there to, you know, kind of leave our emotional side, leave our baggage outside of the arena and go in and enjoy it, that would be one thing. But sport, this is not 9/11. See, 9/11, we were united as a country.
That's correct. It was everyone was on the same team. Yeah.
But now, I mean, the divisiveness and, you know, having athletes playing a role in, you know, highlighting what's dividing us, you know, kind of almost exacerbates the differences. And until we can get our act together so that there are no demonstrations at the games, because that's what the games will ultimately become. They'll become platforms for demonstrations on both sides. Until we can get our acts together, and that's why I was telling Joe, I'm happy right now that we don't have sports, because now is an opportunity to get our act together so that, you know, when the national anthem flies, that you don't have, you know, such a stark difference. When, you know, players go out on the field and they represent certain points of views, that you don't have fans, you know, taking sides. And when leagues and owners until, you know, we're all unified and saying that police brutality, the treatment of African-American males, particularly African-Americans in total, because it's not just males. You know, we've seen that in Louisville. We can remember Sandra Bland and others. Until we can recognize that and demand change together, you know, I think bringing, you know, disparate people together in a sporting event, you know, will only exacerbate those issues.
It's funny. I usually do agree with you, and I agree with you on this point as well. It's, you know, where it's such a unique moment in our nation's history with this confluence of two entirely different but similar, right, in some mm-hmm. way, issues. So another thought to take it a little closer to the place where we sit, you know, our students are deeply, deeply concerned. You know, we just had a couple of student meetings and a lot of conversation. And, you know, it's how much this is impacting them and making them think in ways that they've never thought before. And we have a pretty diverse group of students, and they're struggling with this, right? They really are. They hurt. You know, you know, it's hard to explain in some ways, but there is, you know, there is a very strong sense of frustration with the state of the world. I think they're but they're upset. I think that, you know, that sure. This is still going on all this time later. And you know, you struggle to find the words to help them through this, right? Other than to say we're in this together and you know, and everything else, and we can learn from this and get better, right? Mm-hmm. As not just individuals, but as a society. Thoughts, words of wisdom on this point?
Well, I mean, from our perspective, you know, we continue to tell them to monitor, to understand, to learn, and, you know, discuss particularly, you know, different viewpoints, different actions by leaders. Because remember, we're teaching and potentially the next generation of C-suite occupiers in sports. And they're going to be the decision makers. You know, how do you learn from leadership decisions made? And the only way you can is to discuss, to evaluate, to be critical in what you see and apply some of the stuff that we've imparted to them. But more than anything else, as human beings, if they look around themselves, and they can see that they're committed to the right values, they're committed to, you know, what is just, you know, their turn is coming. And as much as, you know, we're divided, we're confused at this stage, you know, the optimism has to be that, you know, my turn is coming and I'm going to be prepared. And that's what I would hope, you know, our students say to themselves and among each other, our turn is coming, we will be prepared.
I think that's sound advice, and certainly I know they listen to this and we'll pass it along as well. Joe?
Good way to wrap it up. You know, I think the one thing I'll say in closing, Scott, is that I've spoken to multiple people over the last 72 hours, and we all have kids, and whether they have small kids or older kids, one of the things that's come up is, what do I say to my kids? Mm-hmm. And you kind of, you know, epitomize that right now by saying, you know, our students, quote, our kids, it's the same thing. You know, the messages are not easy, but this is also a long term, and this didn't just happen overnight. And, you know, it's going to be a challenge going forward, but, you know, most importantly, we welcome Len's thoughts and words of wisdom, as you said, and, you know, hopefully people will get some positive out of this, and we'll have even more positive to talk about in the weeks to come, both socially and from a sports business standpoint. So Len Elmore, once again, thanks for taking time to join us. For those who don't know, you can follow Len Elmore on Twitter at Len Elmore. It's pretty easy to find. People have enjoyed him on campus, and hopefully before long, we'll enjoy seeing Len back on campus again. So once again, this has been The Cusp Show. I'm Joe Favorito for Scott Rosner with our guest Len Elmore. We'll see you down the road.